Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to our weekly get-together here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, where we come to you live and in living color on your radio dial here from the historic old Clay County Courthouse. And it's a pleasure once again to be able to come out and gather around the microphones here and have a little time to talk about some of the things going on in here in and around Clay County, and also help some folks celebrate their birthday on today. And I want to remind everyone now, this is the last opportunity to go up to the galley up at Mitchell Creek and get your free birthday dinner, because they'll be closing this weekend. So if your name is drawn today, you need to go over to the chamber and pick up your paperwork and make it up there either tonight, tomorrow night, or Saturday night. And I'm not sure if they'll be open on Sunday or not, but I got a feeling they may not. So you're going to have 3 days to get this taken care of. So don't forget that now. And if you have won one of the previous three, you need to make sure you get that and take care of that before the end of the weekend. But with that, of course, we'd like to thank everyone that makes this show possible here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, that being the through the help of the Chamber of Commerce and the Three Star Program, and all the good folks here in and around Clay County who advertise on this show. And we really appreciate that, and we hopefully that you'll keep keeping part of your money at home here in Salina, not take it all to Cookeville and other places, because we need your money at home. And, of course, we realize that during this time, we're not going to have the great big crowds here that you have to worry about social distancing and things like that. But remember, when you do get out and do things, do it safely, because I know we've had just a little bit of a spike here in Clay County the last few days. So, you know, just be careful out and about. And with that, I think we'll take a little short break, work in our first little commercial break here, and we'll come back. And Mayor Tanya is here with me this morning, Mayor Tanya Spears. It's good to have her here with us this morning. And I just saw that Taylor Miller walked in from over at the chamber, and she's going to be sitting in here close by with us. And she may have a word or two to say if we can get anything out of her. It's kind of hard to get her to say anything, but she'll probably have a few things we'll talk about and help fill in some things. And we've got some announcements to make about things going on this weekend and up in here in the very near future. And once again, we'll be giving away, like I said, that last birthday dinner up at the galley at Mitchell Creek. And we'd like to thank the folks up there for sponsoring that this month. And now we're looking forward maybe to bringing them on board a little earlier next year. And that may become a little bit more of a tradition here, where we give away that birthday dinner up there through the winter. But with that, let's take a little short break. We'll be back just in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here this morning, and grab your cup of coffee, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Or if you're some of the folks that are out driving around listening to us, be careful now. Don't get too involved in this and forget what you're doing. But it's a pleasure coming to you each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. And we'll remind everyone that there is a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock here on 101.5 Kicks Country. And these shows are streamed on the Del Hall Horizon newspaper site. So you've got all kinds of opportunities to listen to this. But before we start talking to our guests this morning, we've got a couple of, I guess, public service announcements here. And that is, this is homecoming weekend for Clay County High School. I think we got a football game tomorrow night, the homecoming football game. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's Westmoreland.
Yep, Westmoreland.
Westmoreland, which is a pretty tough opponent. Mm-hmm. And that game will start, of course, at 7. But now the on-field homecoming activities will start at 6:30 Friday night. And the parade will be coming through on its, basically, its traditional route that it's used forever here on homecoming day. And it is begin, I guess that means it'll leave over to high school about 1:30, which it'll make it to town by sometime a little before 2.
Yeah.
And it'll parade through town on the route that it's used for a long, long time. And then on Saturday here, we're having a classic car gathering here. The square will be available for the folks to come over and bring their classic vehicles or any vehicle you want to and park around the square. And just come in and gather in and enjoy a little time and look at some of the old cars, new cars, whatever that may come in. And I think we'll probably have recognition for some of the vehicles. So then you can probably start coming in parking around 2 o'clock. There'll be no registration or anything like that, but the bathrooms will be open. The old courthouse will be open. And then along that, another thing on athletics, the boys golf team won the regional tournament after losing to Upperman High School by, I believe, 44 strokes in the district tournament. And they came back, I guess, a couple of days later in the regional tournament and beat them by one stroke.
Yep.
So I got to say, you'd have to call that word. I wouldn't call that an upset. Anytime we win, it's because we're supposed to, irregardless who we're playing. But I know that it's the first time ever that we've had the entire team to get this opportunity. And I know I haven't got all the names of all the teams, the team members, but I know there was about, I don't know, 7 or 8 young men that played on this team all year. And I think maybe the 4 top and will be actually participating in this. And that's a landmark for us here. And I know we've had some individuals that have made the state tournament, but this is the first time we've had the whole team get to go. But with that, I guess, good morning, Mayor.
Well, good morning.
And how are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
I think I'm up here.
All right. That's always good.
Absolutely. It's better than not being
sure.
Here. And we're sitting here in the old courthouse, and we hadn't heard any emergency vehicles go through this morning yet, but we have seen a few loads of logs go through. We haven't got our truck bypass going yet like you folks up, some of the folks across the state line have, but we still get all that noise and traffic, but we appreciate the noise and the traffic.
Yes, we do.
We're just going to have to start, maybe we ought to put one of those spike planks out across the road and spike their tires when they come through where they'll have to stop.
we would like for them to stop, spend some time with us, but maybe not that extreme.
Not over that extreme?
No.
But I think you have got a whole bunch of things to talk about this morning, so we'll let you get started.
Okay, well, let's just start with, if anyone had received the paper this week, there was an article in there explaining about how we have received a grant for our sewer upgrade. We've had some issues with that. Actually, when I first come in at City Hall, I was met with some problems right off the bat, and of course it's ongoing. But we have received a grant from ARC, which is the Appalachian Regional Commission, for $500,000, and that's with a $125,000 match from the city. So we are on our way correcting the issues with the sewer plant.
Okay, now what's that going to involve now?
The first thing that we have to correct would be what's called the headworks of the plant, and that's where all the wastewater all over town eventually goes through the headworks. So we have to correct the issues there. We have overflows, and that is in violation of our permit. And we actually, February of 19, we had about 23 too many overflows. So we really have a problem there, which is, you know, we're addressing that, and that keeps the state happy.
Well, do you think maybe, you know, the excessive amount of rain we had this spring may have, you know, it may have really focused in on this problem, hadn't it?
Yes, that was a major issue for all those overflows.
You know, I'm sure there's probably no way to estimate how many gallons of water flow through Salina above ground during a big rainstorm, because we do know that some of the little branches, we call them, that sometimes even overflow that run above ground through Salina. And that's not counting all of the homes and businesses that are connected to the septic system,
yes.
Sewer system.
Yes, we have a lot of infiltration. You know, that could be through, of course, groundwater. It could even be downspouts that are attached. It's making it to our sewer. It's several things could be happening. But I have found out you will always have that issue. But you have to try to cut down on it where you can. We have a plan in place for that.
Okay, and what about increasing the capacity? I know we had a moratorium. Will that hopefully take care of the building moratorium?
Yes. Once the headworks of the plant once that's redone and everything's finished in that area, we'll go on and head out from that area back into town. And as you take care of the problems, then you can ask to be having a release on a particular area. And then you'll be able to have a sewer attached in that particular area. And hopefully we'll have the moratorium. We can have that lifted. It'll be in increments, I would believe, before it'll be a full lift.
Okay. Now, what about the entire system's condition? The framework, the sewer lines and things like that, do we have any major problems right now with that anywhere that you know of?
Well, we do have some problematic areas.
Yep.
that you know, needs to be addressed. And just like anything else, it takes time
and money,
yes. So, yes, we do have a plan in place that will address each area. And actually right now what was included in the grant for the was the heavy duty, we call it the heavy duty lift station. We have five sewer lift stations in town, which pumps when needed. It pumps to an area and then it's gravity flow on into our plant. But those five lift stations have like two pumps in each. The heavy duty lift station right now, both pumps are out. We have a temporary bypass pump that pumps it to where it needs to go at this point to get it to our system. So I'm in the process today of trying to locate a pump for our system. So it gets pretty stressful sometimes.
And so the basic infrastructure, I guess I'm going to, how old do you think maybe the oldest part of our infrastructure we've got here now is? It has to be.
I would be afraid to say, but I would say it has some age on it.
Some of it may be original.
Yes, that's a very good possibility.
You know, I do know that we haven't seen, you know, any major underground sewer work being done in the last little bit, so that's something too that you know that's going to happen sometime mm-hmm. in the future. And as you add more people on, when you add new people on, that's going to add stress to the old portions of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, now does that cover the septic system, sewer system, or have you got some more there?
I think that pretty much covers it, you know.
Do you know when this work is going to start?
Well, the plan is this winter to start with headworks. We've actually, it was in the paper also, the request for the release of funds this week. And hopefully we'll get started on that. And of course, this project will probably last through 2022. So it's a long, drawn-out process.
Okay, you know, a lot of folks will read that article, and they'll see there, and they'll see that this is Appalachian Regional, or ARC, funded. Mm-hmm. And most folks probably now don't even really have a clue who this group is. The history of this, you know, I can remember back, I think it goes all the way back to Lyndon Johnson administration, where the area from, I guess, the coal mine areas of Pennsylvania all the way down into, well, nearly all the way to the ocean, I guess, was declared he called it a disaster zone, really, I guess, of being the most distressed of any civilized country in the world. And his plan was to try to, you know, to bring this area up to the rest of the country. And lots of money had been poured into this, and economic money, development money, education money, it goes to anything to improve the living conditions of the folks in the Appalachian region area. And we see that all the time. And of course, a lot of this money is federal money where they get federal grants. And they're kind of a clearinghouse, aren't they, for loans. And you do have to apply for these, and you do have to prove that you're worthy of them, don't you?
Yeah.
But we have gotten this one. Now what else we got down? No, let's take a little short break before we go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Let you gather your thoughts,
yes,
man.
Thank you.
We'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy to use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bill overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Back here, everyone. Once again, like I said, we're sitting here with Mayor Spears and also Taylor Miller has made it in. She is the new administrative assistant over at the chamber that was with us for a few minutes last week, and she's kind of available now if we need a fill-in spot, and she does have a little bit of information sometimes and things to talk about, and we kind of, it's kind of like pulling chicken's teeth. It's hard to get them out sometimes, but no, it's great to have you here with us, Taylor, and I know you've got some things that you do want to talk about toward the end of the show, but Mayor, if you want to, I think you've got some, you just turned the page on your notes here, so.
I'm just trying to figure out where I want to go next here. This will be a sort of a little bit of a short comment. We actually have received a USDA grant for a new police vehicle, which the city is, we're in bad need of that. And it was a $25,000 no match grant. But with, I guess, production and lack of production, I suppose, we were shooting for a car, an actual car, cruiser, but we've had to go with an SUV, a small SUV.
I mean, that is the thing that most of our law enforcement officials
right, and that's all we could that's all we could locate. We had a lady that was trying to locate the cruiser, but anyway, we're going to have to spend a little extra money, but the good thing is we're going to have a new vehicle, and like I said, we're much need. With repair bills coming across my desk every week, you know, it's a good thing.
Well, have we got rid of all the old ones where we had them junked up around?
Not yet. There is an auction being prepared to clear out our lot and take care of some of that clutter over there.
And after the auction, can you then take them to the Cooper folks? And
you can take them anywhere you'd like.
Once you give folks a chance to buy.
Yes.
And any amount you can get for it better than have them sitting rust down on the city property.
Yes, yes, and that can go back into in our funds for more stuff.
To buy more gas for the new vehicle.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And one other thing is, which just is a little exciting to me, that I call this the fun stuff. We did receive a tourism grant for $12,000, and that was just a $600 match. Well, that's always good, a low match. But that will be for like wayfinding signage to go around the town area, the square, and possibly, you know, entryways into town. You know, try to get people to come into town and maybe stay a while with us.
You know, that's a very, very important thing, is to let people know what, you know, what they're coming into.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, you know, we really don't have a lot of attractiveness for people when they first come into to Salina. Do you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know how. You know, when we come across the bridge, if you look up, you see the beautiful old courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Here. But if you look down, that's not what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we need signs there. I know we've got some signs up that's got names of businesses on them, but you know, that doesn't invite people to stop, does it?
No, and of course I think the ones you're referring to is the white signage with the black lettering of the city did that, I think, before I came along, and I have noted to myself that they really don't catch your eye. We need, you know, of course you need some color and some brightness and, you know, pretty stuff, you know, to catch the eye and possibly bring you on into town, you know, and try to get people to slow down a little bit in life and take note of what's around them and stop in and meet people and spend some money. And
well, you know, in a lot of smaller towns you come into, you will see maybe like a big banner that's up that you're saying, you know, mm-hmm. welcome to Salina, Tennessee.
Yes.
Home of crabgrass. I mean, you know, whatever you want to put on there,
right.
That, you know, that this is inviting, you know, mm-hmm. people to stop, and something big and something splashy, but not gaudy.
Right.
You know, we don't want that because I guess maybe there's two ways we could shoot at it. We could go for it to be the gaudiest town, or
I prefer the other.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you never know. If it works, why not? But, some nice banners would be nice. I think I've been asked to pick out some banners. You know, you could have your seasonal banners, your event banners. It would be nice to put up and get a little color in town.
You don't remember the old Burma Shave signs, do you?
I don't know.
They used to be out on the side of the road, and each sign would have like one word on it, and
oh.
It would start like 4 or 5 miles down the road.
Okay.
The next sign would have another word, and each time you went through, you'd keep adding to it until you got to the big advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't just all come up at once.
Okay.
And then I can remember one of the greatest advertising things that probably in the history of advertising was the thing out in the West called Wall's Drugstore. And I think that thing may be in maybe Montana, somewhere out there, like in the middle of nowhere. And that they built, you know, like one of the roads that kind of left this town out. So up on the new road, I guess on the interstate, this the owner of Wall's Drugstore put a big sign up. This is back in the early days of traveling. And the big sign said, "Free water at Wall's Drugstore." And that when he put those signs hundreds of miles away from where he was at, and people going down the road, they kept "Free water, Wall's Drugstore, free water," and it turned into a major, major thing there with tourists from all over, everywhere coming by to get their free water at Walls. You know, and, you know, sometimes things like that we don't, you know, that we think is old-fashioned and may not be as old-fashioned as we think.
Yeah, you know, though, what they say, what is old is new again.
Yes.
So, you know, we could go back around. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Now collect your thoughts, Doctor. Continue.
Oh, well, let's see here what we have next. Well, okay, as far as Donaldson Park, I know everyone's like an update on that.
Let's do a break here.
Okay, sure.
Let me do the birthday names, and we'll take a little short break, and we'll get into that. We have got, like I said, we'll remind everyone now, 243-5574, but now begin. We may be back to the Dairy Queen cakes again,
yeah,
if we don't come up with something else, but we have greatly enjoyed the folks up at Mitchell Creek Marina doing this last month, and we hope that everyone will take advantage of this. And but those that will be eligible today are Justin Cunningham. His mom and dad called in to wish him a happy birthday, and then Liz Brown called in for her, I believe it's her great-nephew, she said, Eric Trobal, who is celebrating a birthday. And then, I think the first name is correct, on a great-great-niece, Lena Birdwell.
Mm-hmm.
So that name's probably correct. And I think Eric's birthday is on the 23rd and Lena's on the 24th. So we'd like to wish them a happy birthday. And then Mr. Jim Butler here in Salina celebrating a birthday. Suzanne Kiesling Amberton also celebrated a birthday during this time period. And Mr. Mike Strong celebrated a birthday. And then Laura and Nelda McLaren celebrated an anniversary. And I'm not sure how many it was, but I know those folks have been married for a pretty good while. And we'd like to wish them a happy anniversary. And also all the other folks a happy birthday. And remember, make sure you call this number, 243-5574. Speak slowly and clearly into that answering machine, and it doesn't hurt to mention the name twice. So with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Comedy Central's over. Tanya, back to you. I know you've got some...
Yeah, get me all tickled and then bring me back on the show. Okay. Yeah, Donaldson Park. We still like one signature on the lease and then my signature, and we should have Donaldson Park lease. Hopefully their year starts in October 1st, their fiscal year, so hopefully we'll be receiving that lease soon. But
so that all the outliers, which I'll call, you know, all the people that had to sign in, like, what, Indian tribes,
yes.
Environment, all
right.
Those people, their part's taken care of. Yes. Now it's just down to the number one man signing it and getting it to you.
Yes, and hopefully that will be soon. But we did receive a grant for some playground equipment, and that has been ordered and it has arrived, and it's at our maintenance building. That's we purchased two play units, one for the smaller children and one for like 12, I think, up to 12 years, and also a two-seat swing, which has a toddler swing and an inclusive swing.
Is that toddlers or old folks, anyone?
If you can fit, you'll be okay if you can fit, so that's good. But I'm excited about that. You know, we have it and it's been delivered. Just as soon as we get the park, that'll be put over there and put together and some new stuff.
Okay, now, I don't know. I know that you had to file a plan. Mm-hmm. And the things that you're planning on doing. Do you want to maybe enlighten us a little bit on some of the things maybe that are floating around that hopefully will take place? Now, these are not promises, are they?
No, in the letter of intent and the 5-year plan, that was submitted, I think, in September of 18, I do believe. And what that would consist of mostly was basically clean up, like the undergrowth, major just TLC, nothing pertaining to building or anything like that, because in order to build, we have to get permission from the Corps to do anything like that. But in the 5-year plan, mainly was just clearing out the underbrush and, cleaning up. Like that.
Okay, and you know, I saw a walk-in the other day, and they mentioned in a very heavy part of the selling part of that it was a walk by the river.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pretty good stretch of walk by the river, except with the lack of undergrowth control.
Right.
For about 20 years, you haven't been able to see that river, have you?
Yeah. I think I recall in my younger years that you were able to see the river. So with that being said, on the river, we may have to get some extra permission to see how much of that we can actually clear to get that view.
To see how big of a bush you can cut down?
Yes, yes.
But, you know, you get to thinking about that a little bit, too, with the permission they gave the archery folks. That, you know, that kind of, may have kind of cracked the door a little bit, you think?
Maybe so, yes.
And, you know, and that's something, too, that I guess when the city takes it over, it'll be just, a little bit different. I know you still got to abide by the basic premises of their rules and regulations.
Yeah.
But in some things, it maybe should be a little bit more lax. I know things have been discussed, like part of the area down there would be a great place to develop a place for RV parking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was maybe part of the plan at one time, because I think at one, you know, there is a place there for a someone to park an RV and supervise that place in the summertime, mm-hmm. wasn't there?
Yes, and actually, on my trip over to, I guess, take a look and, you know, to evaluate how everything was over there, I think there's about 6 or 7 actual electrical panels that you could pull in and possibly, I don't know what they were there for originally, but there's the woods is sort of taking them over, so they're
is that down toward the river?
No, actually it's to the left, next to the first pavilion, along that wood line there.
Okay.
There is about 6 or 7 of those, and I didn't even realize they were there.
No,
I grew up in that part.
I can't remember those.
But on down toward the river, there to the right, where it connects to the Swan subdivision. So far up, that used to be cleared and mowed grass.
Right.
And I had inquired about, you know, the possibility, you know, how hard that would be to clear that back the way it used to be before they stopped maintaining it. And I was told the person said they didn't think that would be much of an issue, but you don't know until you actually ask the questions to the proper person.
Until you crack the chain.
But I have talked to a local individual about, you know, what the cost would be to clear that out for that purpose. And of course, that's part of some of the long-term goals.
And I know, of course, The walking path was originally a par course.
Yeah.
I know you remember that,
I
but I think those things, I think the core, they had a big thing going there for a little while, the outdoor physical fitness
mm-hmm.
thing where they had those. And then I think maybe they discovered that they were totally unsupervised, and some of those things were kind of dangerous. And I think basically they just let those things rot down and then took the remains out.
Yeah.
But the path itself is a great place to walk. It's one of the most peaceful walks you'll take anywhere
mm-hmm.
in this country.
It's really nice.
Where you go through some of the, I don't know what growth of some of the timber there is, but there are some beautiful large beech trees in there, and also lots of walnuts. If you like to gather up walnuts, just take your bucket down to the big tree there where you come out at the boat ramp and fill it up with black walnuts, because they're all over down there, and blackberries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just it's a gem right here in the middle of Salina.
We're very lucky that it's in the city. And also, before back in March, right when COVID started, I had a lady that she was a trail master. She was coming to tour the park and the trail to give advice and to guide us on, you know, upgrading the trail. And so hopefully we can get her back down and she can help us with that.
And I do know there are monies available for those trail improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, generally, I can remember looking around the state and looking at some of the grants that there have been some big-time grants. I know one over in close to Monteagle, over close to where Sewanee's at, that they turned in an old railroad trail into a walking path. That, I don't know, it maybe went 6 or 8, 10 miles
mm-hmm.
through what was just like the old railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned grants. There is the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. There's Local Parks Rec Fund and the Recreation Trails Project. Those have projects. They have been released for this week to apply for those grants. And the possibility maybe of the city and county going in together to create a plan. I don't know if that's if they'll allow us to do that, but that's been brought up as a possibility, you know, to make a countywide plan.
Well, you know, right, and there are numerous places that would, I know, right now, you look at, well, it's used now for four-wheeling and horseback riding thing, and that is the Dividing Ridge Trail,
mm-hmm.
which is a beautiful trail, which would make a great county
mm-hmm.
trail, which
mm-hmm.
runs from here in Salina out to Moss.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that may have been probably the original road that brought you from Moss to Salina.
I don't know. I haven't been up there in a long time, but it is nice.
I can remember my mom talking about them riding the horses and the wagons down to the top of the hill and looking over into Salina. But they couldn't come on over because they couldn't afford the toll to go across the bridge.
No,
but, I mean, I think a lot of folks did that. They would just, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, they'd all load up on the horse, the mules and the wagon and take that ride down through there.
Mm.
And it, like I said, it's used quite a bit for horseback riding, and it's also used for four-wheelers and, of course, the side-by-sides. And we also, there is a gas line down through there, and I think someone said that there may be some type of development going on the other end of that out at Moss.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be something that really gets to be a major project.
It could be.
Okay, back to you now.
Yeah. Of course, talking about these grants, you know, that it's just like being a distressed county, and it just seems like every time I open my email, it's another grant that's available. And there's one with the health department, the Healthy Built Environment. That's a no-match grant, and that's actually the grant that we received in 2018 to do the Salina Walks plan, and that's coming available again. And I plan to apply for that, possibly to for one of the areas of the Salina Walks plan. There were several areas. Some of them are very expensive, but some of them, you know, are not quite as expensive. These crosswalks for Brown and East Lake, there's a section there where it was in the plan. Possibly apply for this grant to for the construction of that.
Okay, grants. What about the grant, the TDOT grant that was to improve the highway through Salina here with
the sidewalk grant, the multimodal access grant. Yes, that's still in the works and slow as most things go, but there's not much of an update on that at this point.
And I know there are some things we haven't heard anything on yet, and one of those being the Cumberland Historic Byway. I don't think we've got any news back on that yet. And that is going to be, with TDOT really supporting that thing, it looks like, you know, that may come to be. And that could be a very, very important byway for Salina.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with it either beginning or ending here, and with the convergence of the two rivers and the old courthouse here being a major part of that, that would really direct a lot of attention to this area.
Yes, it would. And, you know, just keeping with the plan, you know, if you plan and you just keep biting away at that plan, you know, you'll eventually get some results, and it takes time, but just keep on.
Well, Mayor, have we reached the end of your notes there?
I think so.
Well, I'll tell you what, then, if we have, we'll take a little short break, and we'll let you go back and I guess rest up a little bit, get ready to...
No rest.
No rest for the worry or the wicked, right?
See about getting that pump located.
Well, you may have to get you a hand pump.
You know what? If that's what it takes, I'm willing.
All right. Thank you, and thank you for all of the hard work that you're doing here and the progress that you're making. As I said, we know it's slow, it's tedious, and sometimes it's very discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I think you've managed it very well. Thank you.
I'm trying my best, and thank you.
All right. We'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Heck, everyone. We'd like to thank Mayor Tonya Spears for dropping by. I know she's got some busy things going on, and a lot of great news today with some of the things that are happening, and especially I know with the sewer system here in Salina with the moratorium and all the problems with it, where we couldn't add any new home building or anything on, and I do know that getting that straightened out is going to be a boon for us here. And then of course the park, which hopefully when the city takes it over, that there'll be some advertising done on it, more advertising, more opportunities for relaxation and activities down there. I know they've got a lot of things in plan, of things to do down there. Like, there's a couple of tennis courts down there right now that needs a little bit of reconditioning. Yeah. There's volleyball courts down there. Now, there are some gaming things there. And things like the grills, they need to be replaced. There's just, lots of stuff to catch up things that haven't been really cared for a whole lot in the last 8 or 10 years. And with that, hopefully this thing is going to be a major, major addition to folks dropping down to Salina. Good morning, Taylor. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Watson. I'm good.
What have you got to talk to us about for a few minutes this morning?
Well, just a little quick update from the chamber this week. We've got some new grants that have came down as well to make some banners, some advertisements, some different things to kind of pretty up the square, pretty up downtown, and I'm revamping, with the help of some great people, revamping our website, and we're revamping all of our chamber benefits, and we're just doing a lot.
You're Google mapping.
Yes, we're Google mapping. We finally got Union Hill Distillery on there. I have a list of some more that I got to get to. Every time I go out to get these people on the map, something else falls in my lap that I got to take care of right then. With these grants that we've got going on, because they're time sensitive. So, but one thing that this morning I needed to speak about is that we have some spots available through the Tennessee Achieves, which is a piece of the Tennessee Promise. And we need 9 volunteers to make our county complete throughout the state requirement. We need 9 people to volunteer to mentor the high school seniors, so these nine people will get a handful of people that they'll mentor. It's for 1 hour per student per month, so if you get five students, it's 5 hours. So we gotta get working on that. We got a deadline coming up into October for those requirements. And all of that's going to be online and on Zoom and via phone calls after January. That way, because thanks to COVID, nobody has to meet in person for that. So you can do that on your way to work, on your way while you're sitting at home. You can do a Zoom while they're at school. So we need some volunteers to volunteer for that.
Okay, what are they going to, just exactly what are they going to be mentoring in?
So if you are a student or you were a history teacher, but you also know computers very well. So they'll probably match you up with two or three, four students that are boys and a few girls, but mostly they try to keep gender with gender and get you to talk to them, kind of encourage them, talk to them throughout what's going on throughout school, how to get to the next part that they want to go to. Like if they're talking about going to TCAT to get a degree, to get a certificate, then you can walk through them with that. And it's mainly to make that connection with the older generation, with the new generation coming out, so that they have a contact of sort to bounce ideals off of and bounce stuff.
And once again, how much time does it involve for?
It's 1 hour per student per month. So if you think that's something that you want to do, and even if you just want to do one or two students, call the chamber and I'll get you the information as to who to call.
Okay. And, okay, now what else? Now, I know the mapping thing. Exactly what's involved. And I know I use Google Maps, mm-hmm. but, you know, not everyone does, but
yeah.
Just exactly what kind of information are we talking about being available to someone?
So I'll just use the distillery, for example. So they have a Google account. I went out there and helped them put it on the map. So they went to my Google business, and they claimed their business, and they put in the hours, the phone number, some pictures, their website, and then all they're going to do is they're going to keep looking at that and watch their views grow. So every time that somebody Googles something to do with distillery in Tennessee, moonshine, they're going to pop up on Google, and it's going to pop up there. And they're going to get to be able to see their views grow from their little website. It took less than 5 minutes to set them up and to claim their business.
Okay, and, you know, this distillery, it is kind of different to some of the others because it is located out
in nowhere.
Traditional, middle of nowhere, old places where you would hide a steel to keep the Fed, the government folks from finding
uh-huh.
it. I mean, it's kind of that thing. I know that the tourist traps, I mean, they have distilleries, you know, every 15 steps.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got a distillery there that's a making spirits or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I know it's a growing business.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are some, I know Short Mountain, that is one I know of down toward Woodbury, down that way. That's kind of out in the country. But, you know, some of these have turned into some pretty good-sized businesses.
Yeah.
I think right now, I guess this is more, I don't know what their production capabilities are, but it'd probably be considered, I know it'd be considered like a mom-and-pop operation.
Yeah, it's considered mom-and-pop right now. They have some big plans, and I think they can achieve them with some time.
Okay, now what, have you got anything else for us this morning?
No, I got more stuff, but I can do it next week.
Okay, all right. So well, that will keep you coming.
Yeah.
We're about to run out of time, looks like, and I guess by our handy-dandy, non-computerized, highly sophisticated selection system, we have chosen a name for the winner of the birthday dinner up at Mitchell Creek at the galley, and that lucky person is Suzanne Keeslin Emberton. So now remember, everybody call Suzanne and tell her that she's got to come down and get this thing today and get this thing done.
Uh-huh. myself.
So she can get up there and get her free birthday dinner before they close the place up for the season.
And somebody called Jason Coons. He still has his from a few weeks ago that he's not came and picked up.
I'll try to send him a message. Try to get to him. With that, I guess it's time we would say, you know, that it's been a pleasure being here this morning from the historic Clay County Courthouse and on WVFB FM 105, Kicks Country. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here on our radio dial. But until then, I guess it's just say we've got everything put up. And Randy, I will remember to send the black box over to you. But with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.